Double Cross Radio. We are live on UCY.TV. I am your host, Drew Lamb. I am also joined by my co-host, Chuck Horton, and my very special guest, Gary Lake, who will speak about the Jefferson Republic, and Tom McKergan of the Southern Oregon Oath Keepers. Welcome aboard, gentlemen. And Tom, it's great to have you back again to tell us what's going on with the Oath Keepers. You're over in Josephine County, Oregon. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not personally, but we've got chapters over there, correct.
Oh, fantastic. So we had you on, what was it, about a month ago?
I think it was. We had a pretty good conversation that last time.
Yeah, that was wonderful. And then you were over at our Jefferson Republic Liberty Concert down there in Siskiyou County.
You bet, with Jordan Cove, Gary Lake. We had a great time down there. Just such a wonderful movement that they have going there that we need to get behind and really help them out. The Republic is the way to go.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And we appreciate your support. And you had your booth set up there. And then we had a swearing-in ceremony with you and me and Chuck and Jordan Page and Minor Dave and John Martinez. And I'm sure I'm leaving out some folks. There was a pile of us.
Oh, sure.
I think Colorblind Justice was with us too, and yeah, trying to remember everybody that was in there doing that. It was really an honor.
Well, how do you feel about that? Since you did take the oath and to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the U.S. and Oregon, how does that make you feel?
Well, it makes me feel pretty good. It's something that you have to take seriously. I look at the Constitution is something that is used to bind down the government. So I want to use all the tools that I can to do that.
Sure. I believe it was Jefferson that said that there's two types of criminals, and government are the two types of offenders, so let's bind down the second with the change of the Constitution so it will not become paid representative of the first.
Yes.
Something like that.
So we're always having to whittle down the government. It seems to, get knocked down a bit, and then it grows and grows and grows and consumes more and more resources, and people take control of it to further their own goals and enriching themselves. And it's time now to start whittling it back. And I really like some of the projects that the Oath Keepers have going on. I think last time you were on, we talked a little bit about the community preparedness teams. That's right. The correct name for those, right?
Correct.
And I think that that's just the way to go. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to become a member of the Oath Keepers, was because I think that that program is a great idea, where you have your neighborhood basically prepared to react in the event of some sort of a disaster or emergency or whatnot.
Absolutely.
And I think it's the responsible way to go. You know, I'm a prepper. I have lots of friends who are preppers. And so you get to a point where, you've got your own bases covered, and then you need to, look beyond your own home and be prepared to help your neighbors and your family, your community as a whole. And then you aren't reaching out to the government, you know, because you don't want to get on that train to the FEMA camp. You just don't want to have to be in that position.
No, no, and you're right. Now, your first responsibility is yourself, your family, your friends, and the public in that order, because you've got to take care of home first and then go out from there after that and make sure people around you are protected. But in order to do that, we need to get more people in the same mindset and understanding where we're all coming from, I think. And it's important, using the oath to protect the Constitution as your base and establish it from there. We all know what's right and wrong. We know where our country's headed, and yet we're still supposed to believe the people like the Supreme Court, for instance, who refused to hear the case of Hedges versus Obama on the about the National Defense Authorization Act. So they basically gave a green light to say that they can violate our rights, our constitutional rights, you know. It's amazing to me, and people aren't standing up enough. But now they're starting to wake up, sleeping giant. And in a moment, I'll tell you about Jess Pinkham.
Right. And so it's important not just to be organized within your community, but also to get law enforcement involved, emergency responders like firefighters, EMTs, and whatnot involved, and also military vets, and that's why taking the oath is so important,
you know, right?
Especially with the guys that have been trained by the government to fight the wars, and those that are currently enlisted. You know, are they going to follow unconstitutional orders? You know, we've seen some pretty scary things happen recently. We saw the guns taken after Hurricane Katrina, and you know, there were Army troops there. I know a guy that was there that was taking guns, following orders, and he told me the young guys will follow orders because they don't know any different.
Well, here's the thing: you hit it right there, Drew. Right there, and it's ignorance or the lack of intelligence when it comes to really wanting to buckle down and learn that Constitution. So many people make mistakes when they ignore it. They don't get enough training about it. They should have it going on continually after the academy, and, you know, you get a lot of that on the streets, but still, they don't understand it. How can you really protect it and preserve it?
Right, and then we saw martial law being implemented in that suburb of Boston after the bombings, and
Watertown.
Yeah, and people were just, you know, being run out of their houses. But
at gunpoint, yeah, get your hands up. We're here to protect you. Well, thank you very much for violating my Fourth Amendment right.
Right.
Okay, so there's no reason that we need to trade, you know, our liberties for security, because we wouldn't deserve either. You know, that's just how I feel about it.
Absolutely. And so, you know, people need to be educated on both sides. You know, everybody needs to know their rights, and those that are out there who are supposed to protect our rights need to know what those rights are, and they need to know what their duty is.
Sure.
And everyone else needs to stand up for their rights. You know, don't let anybody infringe upon your rights.
There's four levels that require the Miranda under the Supreme Court. Is, first off, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to speak to an attorney or have him or her present with you while being questioned. If you cannot afford to hire an attorney, one will be appointed to represent you before any question if you wish. That's what's required under the Fourth Amendment. Police officer does not have to advise you of your constitutional, your Miranda rights, unless there's three things: police, custody, and interrogation. All those things, elements have to be met before they're required to advise you of your rights. So if you have a warrant for your arrest for possession of narcotics or not paying a speeding ticket, anything, and it's a simple warrant, an officer will arrest you, put you in the back of the car. He's not required to advise you of your rights because he's just executing an arrest warrant He may have not had anything to do with the previous charge or the arrest or the case or whatever the warrant's for. So he's just actually serving that warrant to take you to jail. So you know, he's not required to do that. They only do that as courtesy, or unless you said something else that could violate your own Fifth Amendment right, self-incrimination, then they would probably advise you, like, oh, by the way, I got a body left at the house, you know, that you missed.
Right.
That's the type of thing. Sorry for the lesson, but I just wanted to clear it.
No, that's great. You are a retired police officer, is that correct?
Yes.
How many years were you in law enforcement?
Well, in law enforcement, security, and private investigations and stuff like that, I did 17 years. You know, so I did several levels of security and then 8 years in law enforcement, actual police work. So,
how did you get involved in Oath Keepers?
Well, you know, I saw how things were going a couple of years ago, and I think it was August of 12 that I joined. You know, I wanted to meet up with some people like-minded and do something for our country. I'm not going to be one of these weekend warriors or summertime patriots, you see. I believe in my country. I see what's going on with it. Mm-hmm. And look what's happening is we're dividing ourselves into little nebula across the whole country. The Siskiyou movement is doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Other counties are doing it. They'll start drawing in themselves and then start drawing it together and collecting like amoebas, you know, how they start splitting up and then forming together. So we're building on that right now with other patriot groups too in the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the movement is huge. If you go to the Facebook page for Oath Keepers, I believe there's somewhere around 60,000 likes on there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that are interested in it, and I don't know how many card-carrying members there are.
Oh, dude, we've got about
I'm one
35,000-40,000 now, I think. Mm-hmm. So we're getting pretty good size out there, you know.
That's
people are just coming to us because they need direction, they need to know what to do, and we're here to help them. We care about our country, you know.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think of Oath Keepers' involvement in the situation at Bundy Ranch?
You know, that's one road that a lot of people like to travel, and I look at it as a learning situation, a learning tool.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it was unfortunate that it happened. Of course, if you're talking about the division between militia and Oath Keepers, I'm not really sure, or the BLM incident.
Right.
I'm more concerned with the BLM incident. The rest is just all, fluff, because there's too much testosterone around and things like that. I do know that Oath Keepers prevented a couple of problems there that could have turned bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you watch the debriefing with Stuart Rhodes?
Right. Yes, I did.
Yeah, I didn't catch the whole thing. I think I watched about 50 minutes of it. I didn't get to get into the rest of it. But, you know, when you hear Stuart's side, you get a whole different level of understanding. You know,
he erred on the side of caution.
Sure.
There's nothing wrong with that. We've explained before to people, we've always pushed it that we are not a militia. Never have we ever said we're a militia. Matter of fact, we turned that ball around. You know, a lot of the guys are older. You think they're going to be humping the ground like a lot of these young guys? No, we're out here to RTI, reach, teach, and inspire, not to fight and kick ass and take names.
Right.
We can if we need to. Don't think it's wrong. I mean, these guys know what they're doing. But we take a training role. We take a positive role towards it.
Right. And I think that what Stuart did was responsible. He had intel that there could be a drone strike, and he had to decide what to do with that information. You know, you could keep it to yourself. You could tell people about it, and then you could decide to stay or go or whatever.
Well, what would a reasonable person do? If you were out there, or you had your folks out there, your grandparents, whatever, or your children, what would you do?
What's the point of getting intel like that if you aren't going to act on it, right?
You know, and it might have been a test. It might have been bogus information, but that's better to be safe than sorry. There's no reason for it. They're not down there looking for a fight like some people were, and so I just think Well, see, it probably took a little too far.
It's hard to fight if you've been blown to pieces.
You know, what good are you then? You know, they live to fight another day. But,
right.
You know, like I said, they're not militia. Matter of fact, we had oath keepers still going down there afterwards taking, there was a couple guys from Josephine County went down there and took two trailers, pulled by motorbikes, and they took it down $1,000 worth of stuff, I guess, and, you know, equipment and food and water or whatever, and they left it for the militia. Mm-hmm. You know, oath keepers had pulled out of there pretty much after, it was a couple days later, I think. But they didn't have any problem with it. Hey guys, here you go, see you later. Turn around left, you know. And no problems. They were real happy. Sometimes people like get a few minutes of fame on TV or whatever.
Sure. Well, you know, everybody was able to make a decision for themselves whether they wanted to stay or leave.
Right.
You know, nobody was being commanded to do anything.
Exactly. So you give people an option to do something, a choice. They're not under orders, they're volunteers.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounded like Oath Keepers was trying to work within the on-site chain of command, which was militia. And so I think they were doing their best to do that until things started to get kind of I don't know what the word to say, what the right word is, but disorganized, perhaps a little unhinged.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to go there. but, you know, the whole thing dealt around the BLM and the land and issues like that. And it brings me to this point about January, I think it was, January of this year, that there was an attorney by the name of Jack Swift in Grant Pass, and he submitted a suggestion or proclamation to the county, Josephine County Commission, about taking these gates and opening them up off the BLM roads, you know, so people can access these lands that are ours so we can enjoy them. You know, the funny thing is the government says we need to preserve these lands for the future generations. Well, we are the future generations. We're living now, but we still can't go in. So anyway, there was nothing done with it. So, 14 oath keepers went in there on the 14th and just yesterday. And there's a video up on it. We put it on YouTube, but Tom Snyder, initiated this request to move this forward and do something about it. And when he spoke, the oath keepers stood up and silently just stood there you know, in respecting what he has to say, and they sat down when he was finished. And the next speaker, they stood up again. Well, the third time, Cheryl Walker, the commissioner, the chair at the time, she got a little upset, and she couldn't do anything about it. There's no violation of any rules. Matter of fact, the chief of police was sitting there. he didn't do anything, bless his heart, because he knows that there was no laws broken, and there was no meeting rules broken at all. The point is that these folks are holding these elected officials' feet to the fire and asking them to do something about it. They are a force to be reckoned with. Matter of fact, this is starting to spread all across Southern Oregon. I think it's great that it is. People are starting to realize that, hey, we've got to do something about it. This is our time to do it. Next week on May 21st at 9 in the morning, they're going to be another meeting at the Josephine County Commission. Let me back up. After she didn't get her way, she stopped Jack Swift, the third speaker, from talking, the man who initiated it initially 5 months ago, and she adjourned the meeting. So basically wouldn't allow somebody to use his First Amendment right to redress grievances to his elected bodies. So there's going to be a meeting on the 21st at the Anna Basker Auditorium on 6th Street in Grants Pass at 9 in the morning. And if it is all possible to promote this and get as many people in there that are concerned about these roads and getting these gates open and removed so we can access these lands, please go. We'd strongly encourage people to get there and stand there in solidarity with all of the other people, regardless of your oath keepers or not. This is our time to take a stand and force this hand to be done and handled. What do you think?
Exactly. This is the implementation of Agenda 21. And the federal government, well, it claims that it owns most of the land in the state of Oregon. And so that's a lot of area, a lot of natural resources, and they want to lock up those natural resources. They don't want anybody else using them. These are for the crony monopolistic capitalists to use and to use for themselves or use as collateral. And this is part of that Agenda 21 implementation where they want to start pushing human civilization out of certain regions and then herd everybody up into megacities. And so when they gate these roads, that's part of it. That's part of the whole thing. And then and they're also surveilling the wilderness areas now. They're putting security cameras all over the place.
They're in every entrance to the federal land. The roads,
yeah. And they put them around the campgrounds. They're just putting them anywhere and everywhere. You can't get away from the surveillance anymore. You can't even go out in the woods.
Yeah, they have it on individual campsites too.
Yeah.
You know, how can you be, there's no expectation of privacy anywhere anymore again. And that's why they're getting away with all this violation of the Fourth Amendment on the eavesdropping and things. They're just throwing out a big net. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's like having a roadblock for drunk drivers every street you turn down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't throw out nets like that. It violates so many the principles, and not just, you know, not principles, but our constitutional laws, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just do not understand it. Mm-hmm. People have to get organized, and this is the time to do it now.
Yeah, and it's another thing that people need to do is they need to take these lands back for their own. You know, people within the state want to use those lands for recreation or whatnot, they should be able to. You know, the wilderness is a commons. You know, of course you shouldn't abuse it. You shouldn't wreck things. You know, of course you know shouldn't deface things and ruin natural forms and animal habitat and that sort of thing. You know, but I think a lot of people know that, and you get a few bad apples, but you know, I was taught when you're out in the wilderness, when you're hiking, you pack out your trash and you pack out any other trash that you find.
Absolutely. And people are more responsible. You can't blame, you know, punish all of society for a couple of hills.
Right. You can't just lock everybody out, you know.
No. That's closing the playground down to a kid who messed in the sandbox by accident. Nobody can go play no
more. Yeah. And it gets ridiculous. I've climbed Mount St. Helens before. Have you ever been up there, up in Washington?
No. Huh?
Well, you get up,
I mean, I lived up there before, but never been up there.
You can get up above the tree line, and you can just see, you know, just timber blasted out like toothpicks for miles and miles and miles. It's incredible. But you get up there and it's like, well, you know, Mother Nature made a huge mess.
There's nothing we can do about that.
And
yeah.
It'll happen again.
Sure. In another form.
The thing is that the earth is moving and changing and you know, does a pretty good job of wiping out anything that mankind has done to it. You know, it'll keep going even after we've done ourselves in.
Nature's course. You know, the ICLEI is the local arm, the local governments for sustainability under Agenda 21. So I think that anyone hearing this, just keep an eye out for ICLEI. It's not a good thing, folks.
No, it's not. And, you know, and I've said this before, is most of the people in government that are implementing this don't even know what it is.
Right. ICLEI.
They haven't heard of Agenda 21.
Oh, man. They should see it and read it. Go on to the UN's Agenda 21 website and type it in. You know, they'll see the 1992 Rio de Janeiro summit. Go back 2 years to September 11th, 1990, when George Bush Sr. talked about the New World Order. And 10 years later, bam, World Trade Center, thanks to went into motion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just my opinion, but this is something fishy. I don't like it.
Well, yeah, you can just go to the UN's website, and it's right there.
Yep.
And if you want, if you don't want to spend the time to go through the whole thing, just read the preamble to it.
And, oh, that's fair enough.
Oh, yeah, that it summarizes it pretty well, and it's a strategy to implement collectivism. They want to eliminate the private ownership of property.
Sure.
Create wilderness corridors. Massively limit human activity. Make it such that you have to ask permission to do virtually anything, and you won't be able to venture outside of the human habitats. You know, you'll be in your super city,
yeah.
and you won't own a car. You'll probably live in some sort of multifamily housing unit. You might even share one with another family. You'll have to use mass transit. They might even tell you when you're allowed to be out and when you're not, you know, curfews and whatnot. Sounds pretty horrible to me. I'm not going to be a part of that.
No, you know, I was born and raised in Alaska, and in 1977, Jimmy Carter took away, under the 1906 Antiquities Act, he took away 50 million acres of Alaskan wilderness and just held it in reserve. You know, Mount McKinley, they changed it to Denali.
Right.
These are our lands. We protested the heck out of it, and nothing ever happened. And it just continues, and continues to this day. And they use that same act, Morris Udall, Tsongas, all of those guys, I remember. And we were just heartbroken, and people lived on those properties, and then they said, you can't fly in, you can't take your boat in. That's the only way these people lived in some of the spots. So they had to grandfather it. But to see it happen here in the States, and they keep gobbling it up, man, you're right. I think they are trying to clear people out of these rural areas. If you look at that 100-mile, last time I think we discussed the 100-mile zone that's a constitution-free zone from the waterline inward.
Uh-huh.
And if you think about that with how they're violating people's rights, of course, people want to move inward away from it and say, oh, well, over here I'm free, over there I'm not. So over here they won't violate my Fourth Amendment right, but I'm closer inward than I was on the outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I look at the constitution-free zone as an area where there is no constitution, therefore the government has no authority.
Right. See, I don't recognize that either, but the average person who will follow the law, they don't understand it, they, like you and I would.
Right.
But you see, I'm not changing for none of them, and right. Yeah. I wouldn't suggest anybody do it. I'm just thinking as a motive why they would do that.
Sure.
Or how they would do that, you know, anyway, it just messed up.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm not going to recognize that. We're within that boundary right now. As we speak.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I just see it as almost like a bonus. The government has no authority here in this zone. There's no constitution. Therefore.
Right. Just like that First Amendment area they put up at Ben and Bundy Ranch. What the hell was that?
Right.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah. That's coming down.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't follow that. I mean, we got into something like that in Medford when we wanted to demonstrate with the Occupy Medford folks, and they were telling us that we had to get a permit to meet in a park, and you know, and I told the police, no, we're gonna meet, and nobody's getting any permits, and we didn't get any permits, and nothing happened.
Wow.
Some of our friends even had firearms. And that was against park rules.
Isn't it? Yeah, I consider, like this, these old zones you put up, you know, that's insulting to me. And, it should be to every American, because there is no free speech zone. It's the entire country,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
But you're not gonna parcel it out to me, you know.
Yeah.
Not to Oath Keepers. We, a lot of us fought for that, and a lot of veterans have, a lot of police officers killed, and, I mean, not so much out there fighting battles and people, but they lived up that oath, and they protected people under that oath, and then some of them died for it. So, yeah, I take it personal. You know, and a lot of veterans do, too. They just, when they see an elected official who's never picked up a rifle to protect their rights, and they won't even pick up a pen to do it the easy way, That's what really frustrates people, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But we're making some good progress in Douglas County and Jackson County. We've got a couple things coming up there too. I'll bring up another time, but it's looking pretty good there as well.
So what's the best way to connect with Oath Keepers in your area if you want to join or show up at a meeting?
Well, we've got a Facebook Oath Keeper site, Facebook-Oath Keepers of Oregon, and then we've got, of course, oathkeepers.org, the main website.
Mm-hmm.
And on there they have Oregon Forum, all the states that have chapters, they have forums there. But a lot of the business we do is on Facebook and meetup.com/oathkeepers if people want to see where the meetings are at. Whenever we post them there on meetup.com/oathkeepers. And so anywhere in the state that there's a meeting people can go to, we encourage that. And we encourage people to get involved to join us. And even if they don't want to, just get involved with us, help us out. And we're helping them. So.
Uh-huh.
Good organization to be in. Really good people.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm proud to be a member of it, and I paid my dues. I'm an associate member.
That's fine.
Because I didn't serve in the military, but I'm serving in my own way now.
You know, that's right. You are doing a very good service for that, and spreading the word, and you're reaching more people than I can. You know, that's what's real helpful, Drew. You know. So many people have different talents, and whether or not you've been in the military or not, some people, they do like to do a little extra. We put a lot of stock into our associate members because some of them are just our best oath keepers. They really want to get out there and do something. Maybe they just feel compelled to do it, you know. But everybody has talent, and that's what we work on. A lot of expertise is in these units, these chapters, not units. But,
mm-hmm.
Doctors, lawyers, police, fire, all military people, even former federal employees in law enforcement, different areas, of course, but teachers and you name it, we've got it all. You know, and it's really neat, really neat.
Yeah, so I really highly recommend that people check out the Oath Keepers and go to a meeting, meet the guys there. I think that you will be impressed and will want to be a part of the organization. I'd like to pull Gary Lake into the conversation now. Gary, are you there?
I am. How you doing, Drew?
Great. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And I wanted to have you on to talk about what's been going on with the Jefferson Republic movement. And Tom, please stay on with us if you'd like.
You bet.
Because you're part of this movement too.
Well, thank you.
So, Gary, let's talk about some recent newspaper articles that came out in Siskiyou County.
Well, yeah, Mount Shasta Herald did, I think, some really good reporting. They pretty much laid out what most of the reporting, I think, was with regards to what the city council of Mount Shasta felt was so horribly wrong with the Jefferson Republic, but... if you like, I can just read you a couple of things that was in the newspaper. Both of these articles, of course, are on jeffersonrepublic.org as well as Jefferson Republic on Facebook. And, I'll give you a little background. I showed up a couple of weeks ago. Tony had been, Anthony and Tiso and the Jefferson Action Committee had been pretty darn busy hitting a lot of town hall meetings and just wearing themselves out. Time, you know, schedule was completely jam-packed, and we hear at the very last minute that city council for Mount Shasta wanted, you know, to get an update of sorts, and so there was no way to schedule them in, so I volunteered just to go and open up a line of communication with the Mount Shasta city council and just basically extend a communication vehicle between the action committee or the Jefferson Action Committee and their city council, because there was just no time, and I felt it was really, really important because, you know, that affects a large group of people. Well, make a long story short, I show up, I let them know that I don't have the answers, but I would convey any questions they had and get back to them, and I think I was grilled nonstop for like an hour and something. And, you know, it was an interesting scenario. So apparently they had an agenda, and I think they wasted a lot of ammunition on me. But the newspaper came out, and basically there was a really good coverage on two events. One was a town hall meeting that the city council was specifically invited to, and then a council meeting that was the following Monday that seemed to be more of a dog and pony show to get their point across. But one of their council members, I'll just read a couple of quotes real quick. A gentleman by the name of Harkness stated that he's not convinced it will create the desired changes and results. We could make greater headway under the existing framework of government. And then here's another good thing that was said by Harkness. He believes the city should take a stance because he was elected to oversee the finances and property maintenance, and he feels Measure C could jeopardize those things. Go ahead.
Well, of course, so this movement is about returning the power to the people and who want to reduce the size of government.
Well,
so
yeah.
That
yeah.
is going to affect the government's finances. And it seems to me that Siskiyou County has been put into a position where it is so regulated by the government that it has become dependent upon the government because it can't support itself through free enterprise.
Right. And in fact, Neil Possum, I think it's Possum how he pronounces his name, Possum, or I always think Possum, but I've
Possum.
Heard. Yeah. But he made the bold statement of saying a loss of money from the state and federal governments was a great concern.
So he's a communist?
Well, I don't know.
I'm a communist. I'm a collectivist.
And then there's this gal by the name of Nancy Van Susteren. I think that's how you pronounce her name. And she said the people aren't taking Measure C seriously. And though its proponents are serious and have a novel and complicated interpretation of the Constitution. That was an interesting comment to me. we have a novel.
Yeah,
complicated interpretation of the Constitution. It's the original or organic form of it. It's very novel. But then there was I think it's a gal, Bela Greenspoon. Oh, it is. She said she believes Siskiyou County is home to too many diverse people who would have a hard time agreeing to make small decisions, let alone all the things that go into governing.
Oh, so what she's saying there is that they need one person to force everybody to agree. Isn't that what Anakin Skywalker said just before he became Darth Vader?
Ooh,
that's a good question.
So I think that is what he said, and then he became Darth Vader.
Well, Darth,
who is a fictional character, by the way.
Yeah, oh, I don't know. I think Darth lives. You know, and another thing that's really interesting is the mayor of the city of Mount Shasta. He was adamant, I mean, absolutely adamant on knowing what various, political officials outside of Siskiyou County, you know, what way they would vote, or more specifically, very specific about demanding to know what way do the board of supervisors or where are they going to vote, you know, and really emphasize this guy Venezuela. I think that's how you pronounce his name, Venezuela. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Venezuela, board of supervisor.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, we all know how Mr. Venezuela is going to vote. He's going to vote no, and he's made, you know, public note of it, which is ironic because that, you know, coming from a guy that accuses Jefferson, you know, Republic supporters as racists, you know, so how is that going to be a legitimate and valid leadership vote to the people? But, you know, so anyhow, so, you know, I think that what the deal is that, you know, you guys are talking about Agenda 21, and I think that this is a real good, you know, point, whereas a city government, I think that what they did was illegal, I'm not sure, you know, they didn't have a resolution, so they formed one right there on the floor, and basically said that they were against it. And it was, from what I understand, it was just completely ramrodded through. So, you know, here you go. You've got a city government that is extremely, they're scared to death, quote unquote, scared to death, that they're going to lose federal and state funding. And I could be wrong, and forgive me, people that live in Mount Shasta, but if I'm correct, you might want to, you know, be aware of it if it's true. But it's my understanding that Mount Shasta might be a transition city of sorts, but I could be mistaken. And that's probably why they're so keen on not giving the power to the people and keeping it within the governmental chain.
Right.
So, you know, that, it comes right down to this, Drew. This is Measure C and the Jefferson Republic. That movement is all about giving the power back to the people. It's all about every single person's vote counting. It doesn't matter if you're a board of supervisor, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a teacher or if you're, you know, living in a tent. If you are a registered voter and you have a right to vote in Siskiyou County, your voice should be heard. And they're trying to, you know, it sounds like they're just, you know, not wanting it to happen, out of fear of losing control over the people. So, anyhow, yes. Did I make any sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
You know, I read these are great articles, by the way. The Mount Shasta Herald, I think they did a really good job of, you know, portraying both sides. I think it really comes down to either you're a person that believes in your freedom and your liberties and your right to your personal choice and, your property and water rights, or you're not. And this is probably, you know, you'll love this one. I forgot which one said it, but they basically said that, I think it was, Peter Van Susteren, I think, Nancy's husband. He said, a vote for Measure C is a vote for anarchy.
Well, he's right to a point, but you know, it's not completely eliminating government unless that's what the people choose to do. It's just giving them the power to do it if they want to.
And you know what, though, in all reality.
But I think he meant anarchy is in chaos.
Exactly. Lawlessness.
Yeah, Molotov cocktails. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what anarchy is all about.
You know, and that's not, you know, that was just the biggest, you know, cut down he could put. But that's exactly what, you know, the people that have been messing up, you know, our freedoms and rights for all these years, that's what they want to portray. That's what they'll say, you know, this is anarchy at its worst definition, and these people are bad. So therefore, we have to eliminate this process, squash this movement, whereas we give, you know, the vote and the right to make your own decisions and the power back to the people. Because why? Well, that means they don't have their little puppets, that their little drones, their little zombie minions and sorts that go around and make the rich of the, you know, these powerful entities that are the corporate America, you know, that's what makes the money, is the people. So, you know, they don't want.
There's always all of this talk about this movement with how to fund the government and where the fund's going to come from. And it's usually people within the government that are saying this.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely.
What they need to understand is that people want less government, and they don't need as much money to fund a smaller government.
Exactly. Well, you know what? You look at Siskiyou County, and they make their own, our case for us. You know, these are government officials that are basically saying, you know, how are you going to fund it? Well, one thing we would do is, you know, cut back on government spending. That's the first thing we would do, I would imagine. Right. It's whatever the people want to do. What was really interesting is that the mayor, his name is Stearns. This guy Stearns, he was grilling me, and I told him from the beginning I didn't have the answers. That, you know, I was just a communication line. But I've got my opinions, but they don't matter, you know. But he was, man, he went into some pretty serious. I mean, you know, he was saying, well, has there been an illegal opinion on this? And I actually kind of laughed at him. I was like, what, you know, from an attorney? And I laughed. That's what's wrong with us, you know? I mean, I've got great friends that are attorneys, but they're the first ones to tell me and laugh about the fact that the world needs less of them, you know? But, you know, basically, you know, he just threw an onslaught of ridiculous questions. And my answer to him almost always was, that is something that the people would have to decide. That was unacceptable to him. That was absolutely unacceptable. How dare I tell him, the grand poobah sitting in his opulent chair with golds and jewels, to tell me that the people need to decide and he can't. You know, that it's the people's choice and he doesn't get to rule. You know, I did tell him that, you know, we've got 200 years of a system that, you know, we've gone through and worked through. A vast majority of that we're going to keep in place. You know, we've got a great sheriff in Siskiyou County. You know, that's not going to change, I would hope. I can't see anything with regards to first responders, you know, education, at least the people that are there. I think the educational process needs some definite
but things could be handled in a different way too. Like people are getting pretty annoyed with Common Core education. I don't have any kids, so I'm not exposed to that. I don't have to deal with it, but I do have to deal with their kids when they come into the workforce at some point, you know. I'm already not happy with the generation that's coming into the workforce, and the next generation is just going to be hopeless, I think, unless something can be done to turn them around.
Well, that's what's great about the republic form of government, you know, a constitutional government, whereas the people can identify, you know, county by county, what is the most important thing within their educational system or within their first responders scenario.
People can decide that government
exactly
can't be a part of it at all.
Exactly.
Well, these are individual choices, and I'm going to unschool my kids like Dana Martin does, or I'm going to homeschool my kids, or, you know, a charter school or whatever. People could have some kind of a private school. And the same with fire service, for example. That used to be like a subscription service. You know, I think Ben Franklin came up with the idea of a fire department. And, you know, if you wanted a service, you'd subscribe to it. If you didn't want it, say you had some shack out in the middle of nowhere, you weren't too worried about it, you know, so you're not going to pay for it. You know, people might choose to do something like that. It's hard to say. Same with security. Private rights protection might be much more effective than public law enforcement.
And you know, Drew, and that is absolutely correct. And you know what? And that is something for the people to decide upon. And this is exactly though what the opposition is trying to do. They're demanding. Concrete answers to questions that only the people can decide once they have the power to do so. And that is their big thing. They're saying, well, what about taxes? Or what about money? Or what about, you know, whatever? Well, you know what? That can't be decided until the people have decided. The biggest thing is the people are going to make a decision on June 3rd. This is just a couple of weeks away, on whether or not they want the power back in their own hands. Whether or not they want their freedoms and rights and liberties to make a difference based on the best thing, the best decision for themselves and their families. And that's what this whole Measure C is about. It's about the value of each person, each person's personal opinion and the regional needs of this community. And that is, you know, when anybody opposes it, they have a right to do that. But when you have people opposing it and are strategizing and very, you know, like the Board of Supervisors, they got caught with their pants down trying to confuse the public on Measure C. I mean, shoot, that was pretty incredible, you know. Yeah. And the reason why is because they don't want the power to the people, you know. And that's the big deal. It's not about all the decisions of what's going to happen with economics, you know, whether it be taxes or money, monetary system, or whether it comes to first responders, education. That is not really the point. The point, that's confusion. The point is Measure C is about whether or not the people have the right to vote and whether or not their personal vote counts. And that's what's coming down on June 3rd in Siskiyou County. Jefferson Republic, or whatever the people decide to call it when they voted in, a constitutional form of government.
All of the big decisions don't have to be made all at once. They don't have to change anything at all. If this passes in June, nothing really changes. Just people have another option.
No. Absolutely. Nothing changes at all. Nothing, you know, nothing has to change until A, the issues are identified. B, a solution has been, you know, come up with, or a series of solutions for the people to vote on. And C, funding. Okay.
Somebody could even vote to support this, and at the same time support the State of Jefferson movement.
Absolutely,
they're basically voting for an option.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. Isn't that what the State of Jefferson is all about? Oh, I don't know. Sounds like to me that their spokesperson is going. Well, it sounds like to me their sports spokesperson is really going towards you know, statehood,
right?
And even to publicly claim that he would, you know, do a deal with Harry Reid, you know,
yeah,
for the next 50 years.
He said that. Right.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
I saw the video. Yeah.
And that's crazy. I think the State of Jefferson movement is a fantastic movement. I just don't see why they would want to stay within this, you know, State of Jefferson. Okay. There's that big word, state.
Right.
Well, that's the problem.
Well, yeah. Yeah, go ahead, Tom. You were going to say something?
No, I'm just in agreement with you. I just think that people need to start stepping up for themselves and going to these meetings and mm-hmm. holding their elected officials. You know, do something like we did, Oath Keepers going in and standing up, being quiet and standing up and respect for what they're talking about, you know. Just, others don't care. We can't count on, like you were talking earlier about this one lady and let us decide for you. Well, we can't count on them people to make a decision for us. We need to, you know, pack these houses and go in and start talking to these people and be serious about it. We want them to do what we want them to do for us, period. Quit screwing around, you know, hold them to it. Have them reaffirm their oath if you have to, Gary. We did that in Joe County on January 8th. It worked out pretty well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to test them on that too. We're bringing in some, anti-NDAA resolution to see how they're going to do on that. Mm-hmm. It's a win-win, basically.
Yeah, we just have to make sure that they don't pass the Enemy Expatriation Act. Mm-hmm. You know, so because that's another thing they want to do is they just want to we can't indefinitely detain you under the NDAA.
Yeah.
So we're going to expatriate you, then we can indefinitely detain you.
Man without a country. Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah.
You know, Gary was talking about the frying pan into the fire. Why would you want to create another state? I mean, really, the republic is the way to go with it. And I don't see about going in and absorbing all the other costs that the elected people that do not represent us have created these, all of these expenses in the first place. So why should you guys be responsible for what they've done to screw it up and have you pay for it? You know, all these other fines and whatever. No, that's not worth it.
Well, you know, the very well said. Thank you, Tom. The beautiful thing about the Jefferson Republic is, and Measure C is the State of Jefferson movement, which I grew up. I mean, I grew up in, you know, the State of Jefferson territory. Okay. Mm-hmm. The people that have promoted, you know, that way of thinking and those freedoms and liberties and rights, I mean, first of all, this was an evolutionary process of the State of Jefferson. This actually evolved from a group of people that are the exact people that are behind the Jefferson Republic are the very same people that reinvigorated the State of Jefferson movement about 8 years ago. So they just realized this, you know, a state is not going to work. Even a new state is not going to work. So that's how the Republic evolved. But the bottom line is that the State of Jefferson people, I know a lot of friends that are, you know, in that movement, and they have got to realize that, by golly, if they vote, you know, this is the best thing that they can do. Let's say they still want to have a state. Well, you know what? They get complete control. And if they want to become a republic and then vote for a state, which I think would be just crazy, they would have the power to do that. They could do that immediately. It would be the quickest way to get into what they're, you know, trying to accomplish. But I don't think they would. I think
it's like stepping out of one door and then walking back into it again. It doesn't make sense in the respect that you're right. Make a clean cut, clean slate, get away, and then rebuild it. Once you have the doors closed, you can work on the inside. And then if you decide to go into the state again as a compact of the United States government, then you can. But again, a will of the people.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if you're truly a State of Jefferson, you know, movement person, I think you're more. I think that the State of Jefferson was at that up until recently the next best thing.
When they started this back in the original times, 40, 50 years ago, it may have sounded great back then. And, of course, you didn't have the liabilities now that you would have. Things have changed. So roll with it and be proactive instead of reactive. The idea is great. There's wonderful people in the movement, both of them. But let's combine and redirect them to the correct path. And
so
I think.
Anyway. I agree. So, you know, anybody that's really, really genuinely, you know, serious about really getting this country back on the right track, Siskiyou County is going to be the light of America, and in that we're not leaving the United States. Everybody, oh, that's another thing. Oh yeah, you guys are, you know, we're not. We're staying within, you know, the Union. I mean, it's like anyhow. It's the most beautiful, peaceful. It's movement and. You'd just be nuts not to vote yes for it. All this stuff can be worked out.
A beacon of freedom that will shine. I mean, when people see that, they'll be drawn to it. It's freedom. Just like when people went to Texas back before the Alamo for a new life, a breath of fresh air. And you know, 9 years later, they entered the Union, and there went Texas.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're just a few weeks away from June 3rd and voting on this. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. If it is voted in, I think that's when it really starts, you know, the work really starts. But it'll be worth it. Freedom's not easy. Freedom's not free, you know, and that's where we're at. I hope that anybody in the State of Jefferson movement, and, you know, I know the people in the Jefferson Republic movement, I hope Siskiyou County comes together and realizes that they will be extinct in the very near future if they don't band together and you know, fight off this craziness that's happening to all over America. And,
absolutely, and it's, I agree 100%.
It's corporate America taking advantage of, you know, hardworking people. That's all it is.
True. Hey, Drew, would you mind? Let's see, who handled the Double Cross Radio? Is that let's see, who handles that one? Facebook
and Chuck Horton.
I mean, sorry, on the Facebook, I was going to send you a link for the Oregon.
Yeah, it's a collaborative effort there.
Okay, I'll just send it in a PM then.
Yeah, I'll see it. Chuck will see it. Colby, colorblind. We have several editors on there. So.
Sure. Well, the reason is we want to get a chapter going there in Siskiyou. We'd like to build that up. And if people are interested, they can go to that link to Northern California Oak Keepers and leave me a message and we can get started on that.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Sure.
So if anybody's interested in that, there's your opportunity.
You bet. And I'm going to be speaking to another guy who's over there now and he's interested in getting started. So I think we can really do something with it and we can help out with the Jefferson Republic as well.
Yeah, I think these two movements go hand in hand with each other.
You bet.
I believe that. You know, and go to jeffersonrepublic.org. There's all kinds of information. You know, and then also we're on Facebook, Jefferson Republic. You know, this is almost a once in a lifetime opportunity. I would imagine, at least in my lifetime, it's probably the most important vote that people in Siskiyou County will have ever made.
I agree. So. If you aren't in Siskiyou County, please check out the website still, jeffersonrepublic.org, and you might find an opportunity to do something like that. You've been listening to Double Cross Radio. I just know some